Thank you. Thank you for your interest.
And you can hear Hemispheres every Tuesday night at 6 o'clock here at KGNU.
Good evening, KGNU listeners. This is Angèle Gajor. When I'm in Boulder, I turn my radio dial on 88.5 FM. When I'm in Denver, it's 1390 AM. When I'm in France, I listen online at kgnu.org. Au revoir, everybody.
And this is KGNU, Boulder, Denver, 88.5 FM and 1390 AM with translator K229AC in Nederland, Colorado at 93.7 megahertz. Next up, Hemisphere. Next up, it's Cabaret.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Cabaret, the show where we feature live performances from our region's best musical talent. And tonight's special guest is singer-songwriter, guitarist Richard Dean and John Macy on steel guitar.
Well, it's sang so long ago, I took the train to Quantico. I kissed my mama, shook my father's hand. Stars and stripes and shiny boots, dressed up in a soldier's suit. Fresh and young, without a clue, what I thought a man should do. Took my engine made of steel, I walked it through the killing field. I took the time to say a prayer or two. I made some friends along the way. Some returned, some had to stay. And some of us could bear the pain. Some were never quite the same. So take your chances, take your shot. 50-50's all you got. Live each day the best you can. That's a line I understand. Make each moment like your last. Life goes by you so damn fast. Make a promise and keep it true. That is all a man can do. Doesn't seem so long ago, I hitched down to New Mexico. I kissed my mama, I saw my father's stone. I friends are gone or out of touch. Nothing seems to change that much. Desert's hot and the sky's still blue. We're getting by and making do. So take your chances, take your shot. 50-50's all you got. Live each day the best you can. That's a line I understand. Make each moment like your last. Life goes by you so damn fast. Make a promise and keep it true. That is all a man can do. Make a promise, keep it true. That is all a man can do.
Tell us a little bit of that song.
Thank you, Dan.
That's one of my favorite songs on the record, Richard.
Thank you. You know, there are two ways to write a song, at least I think so. You can learn the craft. Mm-hmm. And anybody can learn the craft. I mean, you know, whatever you've got to say is valid. And if you can put it together in a good way, it's listenable. And you've used the language and you communicated, well, that's great. And you can all, anyone can learn the craft of songwriting. And most of us do. There's another way. And that's the way that you just hope happens. And that's by, it's, you know, it sounds kind of mystical. And I don't want to make it sound that way. But it just kind of is poured through you. You know, Carl Jung, the great scientist, said that there was a collective unconsciousness in the world. And it sure seems like it sometimes, because all the songs that have been recorded by other artists that I have written were those, what I call, automatically written. They just, you're sitting there and all of a sudden, boom, and it's finished. You don't edit it, anything. It just comes out, you write it down, and you go, wow, that's great. Wow. So that's how that song happened. You know, I wasn't in the war, but a lot of my peers were, and one day, there was a movie called Full Metal Jacket.
Right.
And I went with a bunch of guys who were vets. And, you know, to the theater, it was extremely moving. And when we came out, they were all crying. Mm. So it was really emotional. And the next day, I wrote that song. I didn't write it. I shouldn't have said that. I didn't write it. It just came out, and I wrote it down on the paper. And I'm going to do another one later on in this hour that is the same way. It just got written. I didn't touch it.
Somehow, like, you're the thought. The thoughts come, and you're just the vessel for it, huh?
I am just the scribe. It's remarkable.
Yeah, I remember the first time you played me this song. It was like, you know, they talk about how music can take you to a place and time, and he played me the song, and I was sitting on my couch in Winchester, Massachusetts, where my family had moved, waiting for the lottery to be drawn that night for my lottery number on the draft, and I wouldn't have gone anyway because I was waiting for a CO hearing, but, man, that song just put me on that couch and brought back all those memories. It was pretty amazing.
That's cool.
It's amazing where a song can take you.
Before we go on, you have a new record out called Accidental Man.
Accidental Human, yeah.
Accidental Humans. I misage you.
I'm sorry. It's okay.
And I had my fingers covered. But anyway, it looks like you said on your website or one of the interviews I read about you that these songs are all orphans and
right.
And you put them here because they didn't fit in any previous projects. Or,
right.
Are these the first recordings of yours of these songs?
Almost all of them. My wife, Samantha, is responsible for making this thing happen. I retired from teaching English to foreign students,
a couple years ago. And she said, you know, I want you to record all those songs that I don't have. Oh, come on, honey, really? Here, wait, yeah, I'll just play them for you right now. No. No, I want you to record them. And, you know, she picked a few, and I thought it was a good idea. There's some new ones on there, but they start in 1972 and come to the present day. There's a song on there, a bluegrass song that I did with Sam Bush and Sally Van Meter and Eric Thorne called Blue Coal Miner, and that's been recorded, but not like that. I did it as a traditional bluegrass song this time. And there's a song on there called Highwayman that I wrote with John Cable in 1973 in the car coming back from somewhere in the mountains. John was in the Nitty Gritty Dirt Man, and that had been recorded a long time ago at John Macy's second studio, the one in Denver over in Five Points. Right?
Yeah, in the 80s, yeah.
What was that called? What was that
studio? That was called
JMC. JMC, that's right.
Yeah.
So everything I've ever recorded, except I recorded a single in Austin at the University of Texas when I was a student there, everything I've ever recorded has been at one of John's studios.
Wow. And how many was that?
I'm on my seventh right now in Denver.
So we hadn't done a record since 97.
I remember that record.
And we did, it was called Changes in the Heart, and we did that, and we did a blues record, a blues quartet with horns at Kerr Macy. But we hadn't recorded in almost 17 years when I did Accidental Human. And they're, you know, the songs are all written across many years. So they don't, you know, there's a early 90s, like Steely Dan jazz rock tune. There's a straight bluegrass number. Mm-hmm. It's all over the
country
all
jam.
Over the map.
Yeah, there's some that sounds like a little bit of jazz.
Yeah.
Or there's a saxophone on one of them or a horn on one of them.
Yeah. But it didn't matter. She just wanted me to make a memory, right? And it
just
wasn't
time to turn into a good record.
Well, that's your fault. The thing is, it wasn't going to try and further my career at this point. I just wanted to, it was a good idea to make a memory. And we did some of it in Nashville, we did some in Atlanta, we did some in Austin, and we did some here. And it was just so much fun.
So you and John traveled to all those different studios then?
Kind of.
You did the traveling, I just put it all together.
John was on Skype
I'd be sneaking in on Skype.
And sometimes I was on Skype too.
Wow.
When he was cutting Sam Bush, and I was on Skype in Texas. He was here, and Sam was in Nashville.
So since he's always in another room anyway, I guess.
Yeah.
You know,
it's really not much different. You know?
Yeah.
All right.
We should play one off that. We should play Louisiana Eyes off the 97 record, off the Changes, since we just talked about that record.
Okay. Well.
Or I just screw everything up there?
Yeah.
Good.
Get this on the guitar.
I'm a professional at that.
I must say that... Oh, that sounds good. Thank you. Bien fait. The engineer has done a fabulous job on the sound of this guitar, at least in my headphones. I must say, before we go on, this next song, Louisiana Eyes, was on that record in 97. I wrote that in 72. In 74... I got a phone call out of the blue at my home. Hello? And this voice said, Richard? Yeah. This is Tom Rush. What? Come on. Who is this, really? No, it's Tom Rush. The Tom Rush? You know, and I was a huge Tom Rush. God, giant Tom Rush fan in college. Now, and he said, okay, stop that. I'm calling you for a reason, you know, don't. We really talk about it because you're fantastic. You just quit it. And he wanted to record this song. He's done three of them. He recorded All a Man Can Do, that first number I did, on his last record. It was, I think the record's about 4 years old now. So Tom has been extraordinarily nice to me by recording my tunes. I really appreciate it. And you know, when I was in college, he was it on the East Coast as far as folk music goes.
And he did this with Emmy Lou, didn't he?
He did. He didn't record it with Emmy Lou. I guess, well, not on a record. They, the big PBS station in Boston was a WBH something. What is it?
I can't remember.
The huge PBS. Anyway, they had a celebration to celebrate the new year, 1983, on PBS. And they filmed the concert. The concert was Robin Batteau and David Buskin and David Bromberg and all these wonderful musicians that, you know, were kind of the extended circle of Tom's people. And Emmy Lou was the special guest. They sang a duet of this song on national TV, and I was playing at a club that night, and when it came on, you know, I just said, "Stop, everybody be quiet."
Emmy's singing my tune.
Emmy Lou is singing the second verse of my song. So anyway, he did record it on that record, but not as a duet. Called Louisiana Eyes.
Awesome title.
Okay, here's hoping. Softly misting bayou green. Do you realize you have captured me and I can't get free? I am paralyzed by your Louisiana eyes. Louisiana. Louisiana, Louisiana, your Cajun daddy doesn't see our love grows stronger every day. Till I hear him telling me, boy, I know Texas son is gonna be the one to see the sunrise in your Louisiana eyes. Louisiana eyes. Louisiana eyes. Lake Charles morning air, it's blowing inland from the sea. Go saddle up your racing mare, point your quarter horse on a northwest course. Come home to me, my Louisiana. Louisiana, Louisiana, Louisiana.
Louisiana.
Richard?
Yes, sir.
I was wondering if you could tell us what inspired that song. You told us how Tom Rush got it.
Well, I don't think my wife's going to like this story, but let's see.
I'm good at asking those kinds of
that's
questions.
That's a great question. No, it's a good story. It really is. And it shows, you know, if there are any songwriters listening, then it shows how those things can happen if you're just open to observing. You know, songwriters are just really observers. If they can receive and hear and see things, then they just go, oh, that'd make a great song. I had a duet in the 70s called Timberline Rose with a guy named Jim Shulman. An acoustic duet.
Okay.
And I think it was about 72, 73 or so. Anyway, we were playing at a club in Dallas called the Rubaiyat. And Jimmy ran into, after the show, he ran into a girl that he had had a moment with, I guess. This is, you know, I don't know how to say that, but they knew each other.
Their eyes met.
They knew each other more than just, you know, as acquaintances. Anyway, they had a history. And since we only had the one car, I had to go with them to her place, right? We were young. Had to go with him. And, you know, I said, oh, great, well, what am I going to do? And the girl said, oh, I have a roommate, you know. I went, oh, good, well, that's great. And so they took me, and they disappeared when we entered her apartment. They disappeared immediately. The door, boom, closed. It was already late at night. And here was her roommate sitting there going, why am I, you know, talking to you? I have absolutely no interest in you. I don't know you. You're in my apartment, and you can't leave. And, you know, it was awkward. It was a really awkward moment. So I just started interviewing her. I just started asking her questions because, you know, there wasn't going to be any of that, you know, that early hippie thing happened. And I said, so, you know, tell me about yourself, and start asking her questions about herself. And she said, well, my dad has a quarter horse ranch in Lake Charles.
Wow.
I went, oh, really? Yeah, where are you from? Well, I'm from Louisiana. And, you know, from there, at that, I said, hang on just a second, do you have a piece of paper? And I just started writing that stuff down. So she basically, you know, I made the best of a bad situation. I got a great song out of it, if I do say so myself.
Yeah, and if any of y'all mind the catalog on the original record, Celeste Kryn sang the duet with you on there, and it's just, she sang it, she knocked it out of the park.
Celeste is a magnificent singer. And she killed it, yeah. And Tim O'Brien sang in the chorus.
That's
as well.
Right.
So, you know, another lineup of fantastic musicians.
So how far do you guys go back then? And where did you guys meet, you and John Macy, Richard?
Well,
I'll start.
Okay, you start.
And then you can fill it in. I was the guitar player in the Michael Murphy band in 74, starting in 74, I think. And we were playing at the Harvard Square Theater in Boston, and we opened for David Bromberg. David Bromberg was huge on the East Coast.
That's right.
And after the gig, we went across the street to a club called?
It was called the Oxford Street Ale House.
Oxford Street Ale House. And it was jammed. You could hardly get in the front door. And, I mean, it was a really big place, but there was a gazillion people in there. And on stage, there was a smoking Western swing band.
In Boston.
In Boston.
Oops.
Yeah, and they had three fiddles or twin fiddles?
Twin fiddles.
Twin fiddles, which John hates. Most steel players do, right?
Unless they're really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we love them when they're good.
Okay, but they typically...
And we had good ones.
Was that way because they always hog up the solos or something?
No.
It's a long story.
Get off the subject.
It's because they, you know... What do you call two violinists playing in unison?
A miracle?
That's a good answer.
Now, what do you call a minor second to fiddle players playing in unison?
That's it. That's the punchline, right? A minor second. So they don't play quite in tune. And, you know, the steel is
Yeah, we steel players spend half their time tuning the instrument and the other half playing out of tune.
So, you know, you got all this cockiness. Anyway, Mike Murphy, the boss, saw John, and I guess what happened? Did he come up and say, hey, what's your name?
He came over at the end of the night, asked me if I wanted to sit in with y'all on the show.
Oh.
It was 75, fall of 75. He said, December of 75, he said, you want to come and play with us tomorrow? You guys were actually there that came in the night before. And so I came over and sat in with you guys, and then after that night, he said, my steel player didn't come up from Texas when we moved to Colorado, and would you be interested in playing? And I said, sure. And I packed up and moved out the February 1st, 76, I moved to Colorado, and I came into the first rehearsal, and you were the guitar player.
Wow.
And we rehearsed, and we went out on the road for 6 weeks or something.
And that was Murphy?
Yeah, with Murphy, and then I came back and went home for a couple of weeks to bring the rest of my stuff out, and I came back to the next rehearsal, and you weren't there.
That's because
that was it. Wow!
But it started a friendship that we've done all his records together. We've played in bands together. We've done theater shows together. We've just been off and on.
So when he left, is that when Sam Broussard came in?
Sam Broussard.
I didn't leave.
Well, you left the band?
I didn't leave the band.
He was, yeah.
I was exited from the band.
After he got exited from, Sam Broussard, I came back for the next rehearsal, and it was Sonny Landreth was supposed to be replacement, but his wife.
Wow. No kidding.
His wife was not doing well with a pregnancy or something.
No, that's not the story, but go ahead.
The official story.
Sonny, I was in a band with Sonny for, I have no idea why. What does he need? I was just like, I've got a guitar and I've got an amp, but you don't need me. The guy's an absolute genius. And he was on this record on Changes in the Heart. But I was let go for the second time, and I was gone for like 2 months, and Sonny was rehearsing with the band. And the day they were going to leave, you were going to play CBS convention in San Diego and Radio and Records convention in Atlanta.
Atlanta, yeah, I remember that.
And I don't think he was married to her. She had a nervous breakdown, though, that day because he was leaving town. And he couldn't go. So, Mike had to call me when you were leaving. The bus was, idling out on I-70 and asked me if I would come back.
And that's the tour that we did.
That was a brilliant moment in my life.
And then when I came back for the next rehearsal, Sam was in the chair.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then Broussard, who's my favorite guitar player, and he's on this new record.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about him a little bit when we come back.
Okay.
We're listening to Richard Dean and John Macy, just for all of you that have tuned in a little late.
Which got picked up for the folks there.
Oh, Richard. I thought going to commercial. No commercials?
That's right.
Dang.
That was a commercial.
Well, since John's there with the steel, like I said, we were doing I had a blues quartet. We did kind of swamp New Orleans, Little Feet type, Alan Toussaint, as close as we could get, Robin Ford, stuff like that. And I was doing a quartet record, a blues record with a horn section, because I'd always wanted to do that. And one day, John said, why don't you write a country song? And I looked at him and said, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to write any stinking country songs, man. And then I went home that night. I was thinking about what he said, and I wrote one. And then I liked it. And so we did. That just went from there. I wrote some more, and we put some songs together, and we got some great players, and then we made this singer-songwriter record in 97 called Changes in the Heart with Tim O'Brien and Sonny and
Celeste
and some other really wonderful players. But anyway, here's the song that I wrote when John said, why don't you write a country song? I said, nah, I'm not going to do that. It's called Fiddles.
Oh, yeah. I remember that one.
You may not remember it.
You have to tell me what key it's in, but I remember the song.
It's in G, but it starts on the 4.
Right.
I hope I remember it. Ready? A fiery Texas preacher preaching about the judgment day,
all sanctified and holy, our sins be washed away. Now I understand eternity's a long, long time to pray. When I get to heaven, to St. Peter, I will say, just give me some fiddles and a steel guitar. A chicken picking fender and a round of cold lone star. My idea of heaven is a honky tonkin bar. Just give me some fiddles and a steel guitar. A blue eyed Texas twister just barely passed her teens. I know her cause I kissed her down deep inside my dreams. But now some may say that heaven's hiding somewhere in those jeans. But if that's an indication of what heaven really means, just give me some fiddles and a steel guitar. A chicken picking fender and a round of cold lone star. My idea of heaven is a honky tonkin' bar. Give me some fiddles and a steel guitar. I know some folks who say they're lost, others say they're found. I know some folks who like to roam while others hang around. To some, the devil's rock and roll, to others, it's all right. Keep your opinions in control, cause I know what I like. Give me some. Others say they're found. I know some folks who like to roam while others hang around. But to some, the devil's rock and roll. To others, he's all right. But keep your opinions in control, cause I know what I like. Give me some fiddles and a chill guitar. A chicken picking fender and a round of cold lone star. My idea of heaven is a honky-tonkin' bar. Give me some fiddles and a steel guitar. Well, give me some fiddles and a steel guitar.
Wow.
That's country song.
That was great. Did anybody ever pick that song up?
No, sir.
Oh, my God. Man, that's a perfect song for anybody. I mean, that's a hit for any decade of country music.
I'll tell you what, I'll give you half the publishing if you go ahead, get on out there. It is pretty cute.
I can't imagine that not working somewhere.
Well.
Even Casey James Presswater.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
That's right. I guess I should pitch it to those boys. You could make tens of pennies on
Sorry
that.
About tuning, but...
But I could just see it on the, you know, on the, even, you know, mainstream radio too. But
well,
I mean, it's a song that bucks that makes fun of the industry in a way, you know, I mean, because they don't do that, and that's probably why it would be a hit.
It's probably even more better now than it would have been back then.
Maybe so. Well,
we need some fiddles and steel guitar.
Like I said, go ahead. You know, 100% of nothing is nothing, man. I'll give it up.
Yeah, I remember seeing an interview with Willie Nelson, and Mickey Raphael had just started, and Willie Nelson finally noticed the guy, and he goes, well, how much are we paying him? And he goes, nothing. Well, let's double his salary. So can you talk about Sam Broussard and how he helped you with the harmonic structure of these songs?
You're reading off that record, aren't you?
I sure am.
You know, I've known Sam for 40 years. And he is a genius guitarist. And moreover, he's got to be the most unique player I've ever seen.
Absolutely.
You know, I can play the guitar a little bit, and I can sit and watch somebody play. And I kind of know what they're doing. You know, I get that. Oh, yeah, I see that. I know what that is. Sam can play things, and I don't know what it is. I can't see it. I don't recognize it. I've never heard it before. I don't know what his hands are doing. I don't see the positions. It's all like a completely different instrument.
Oh, my God.
No kidding. So, you know, we spent a lot of time together over the, over those years, and I would have a song, and I would play that song for him, and he would say, you know, can I harmonize the chorus for you? Yeah, go ahead. And then he'd play some chords that I had to learn. And it took me a month to, you know, stretch my hand out to be able to play him. But he just enriches that. And the, and on that record, on that new record, there's several songs on there. There's a song, the song called Rainy Day. I wrote that for his the passing of his mother. That's the next to the last tune on the record.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And I wrote that for the passing of his mother. Now, he harmonized those chords. You know, I have these kind of basic, it's not bad, but then he just goes really deep and provides all this gorgeous harmony, chordally, that I would have never done.
Yeah, he has this, that gorgeous side, and then he's got the crazed side, you know. He was so, when he did a little stint in Nashville for a while, which, you know, I said when he first moved there, he didn't. He's not really a fit for Nashville anyway. And when he first moved there, I remember asking him, well, how's it going to Sam? And he goes, well, everybody kind of looks at me funny when I take a solo. I said, well, yeah, I would think so, Sam. But and but he used to play with this songwriter named Fred Knobloch. He's one of the great Nashville songwriters. And Fred described his playing as it sounds like somebody falling upstairs. And that's one of the best descriptions.
Wow.
Yeah, that's one of the best descriptions I ever heard of Sam's playing. But yeah, totally brilliant. And then when he finally moved to Louisiana and started playing down there,
boy, how's it going there?
Yeah. How's it going down there, Sam? He said, nobody looks at me funny when I solo.
Now, Sam currently plays with Steve Riley and the Mamou Playboys. And he's just...
He was a mainstay here in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah, he was big time.
Yeah, huge influence on the Denver.
I heard that, you know, after he got the Murphy gig, that he drove Mike crazy because he never played the same thing twice.
Yeah, exactly why he didn't fit in Nashville. Yeah. They expect you to play the lick of the month.
You know, when I got hired, Craig Hillis was the lead guitar player in the Michael Murphy band, my old college buddy, and they were up playing at Ebbets Field. And I was in Craig's hotel room, and he said, I don't want to do this anymore. I can't do it anymore. He said, I want you to take my place. And I said, man, I can't play a solo to save my life. I'm a folk singer. He said, it's easy. Just make it up and memorize it. Play the same thing every night. And that's what I did. And I can see why Sam, because Sam, you know, he'd just get bored. He would get bored. And, I mean, he can, harmonically, some of the things he does is just out of this world.
Yeah. And then the things that he plays with that Cajun band. Now, they're progressive.
Yeah.
The Mamou Playboys, and they're awesome. I don't know if you heard this new record called Voyager, but, I mean, his contribution to the record is tremendous.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, he's the best.
We're talking to Richard Dean here tonight and John Macy. What's next on the agenda?
Well, something easy, I hope. You know, I just played that song with my E string tuned down to D, which really messed everything up. But I told you I had that blues band. This is one of the songs off that that I wrote with a guy named Bob Tyler, a really crazy bent individual.
Slash ex-husband. Huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know Bob.
Yeah.
I remember when they lived here. Yeah.
Enough said.
Celeste and Bob, and Bob and I got together on this song, and I just adore it. I was up subbing, playing guitar for, I can't remember her name right now. She's a harmonica player, has a band. Anyway, I was subbing in her band up in Central City. And she was introducing a song, and she said, it's a country song, but everything I touch turns to the blues. And I turned around and, there's a song title right there. I gotta write that down. And then I went over to Bob, and he helped me finish it. Oops, sorry.
Another quickie, huh?
Yeah.
Sonic quickie. Richard Dean. Wow.
If I were Rockefeller, I'd wear my Sunday shoes on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, any day I choose. I'd wager all my money, my team would never lose. Everything I touch turns to the blues. I don't go out with starlets, but I see them on the news. And if I ever met one, I don't know what line I would use. 'Cause I'm not rich and famous, I don't look like Tom Cruise. Everything I touch turns to the blue. Sometimes I tell myself my luck is bound to change. I find myself still reaching out for that elusive ring. When I finally get my ticket on this merry-go-round, the ride is closed, it's broken down. Just yesterday I tried to start all over again, to find some place where trouble couldn't follow me. And then I stood there on the platform waiting for the train. I'm afraid it never came. If I were like King Midas, there'd be no way I could lose. A stick, a stone, some sand, a bone would be more than I could use. But there's no use in dreaming about things that I can't do. Everything I touch turns to the blue. Everything I touch just ain't worth that much. Everything I touch turns to the blue.
This is totally amazing. We're with Richard Dean and John Macy on steel guitar. Richard, suppose people at home really like this music that they're hearing tonight. Where can they hear you play?
Oh, that's a bad question.
You gotta get invited over to the living room.
I think it's a good question.
That's a bad question. Well, I haven't played out in quite a long time. You know.
But you still got all your everything.
I should probably. Well, thank you. I should. You know, I'm starting to think that it wouldn't be a bad idea to play out a little bit. But the last real big show that I did, my friend that was in the Dirt Band, John Cable, came to town, and we used to have a duet, and we worked up, and we got hired a bunch of great Denver players, and hired the room at Swallow Hill, and it was sold out, and it was fantastic. We had a ball, had a great time.
Nice.
So, you know, I may do that. That would be something I would do. I don't want to go play in a club particularly.
No, you want to get people to listen to you.
Absolutely, and maybe you can help me do that. But when John and I, we had a country band during the urban cowboy craze, and then he went off and did his thing. I had some trios and duets and a quartet, and then we got hired in 1996 to play this little show they were bringing to the Denver Center for the Performing Arts called Always Patsy Cline.
Oh, yeah. And then you met Neil Haverstick there, huh?
Yeah. I knew Neil before, but Neil was one of the guitar subs, one of many. But because we did it for so long, but they hired us to do the preview. It was going to happen in like 4 or 5 months, and they wanted a preview for all the investors and stuff. And after we played the preview, the director came, and and Randy Weeks, the late director of the DCPA, came and said, "Well, we're going to be contacting you guys because it was really good, and we want to hire you for the show." And we went, "Yeah, right, whatever." Yeah, like that's going to happen. And then they did, and it turned into, at that time, the longest running musical theater in Denver history. We played, and we played like 1,687 shows over 4.5 years. Then they put in another show. Then they brought it back for another 7 months. So, you know, we know I Fall to Pieces really well.
Yes, we played enough Patsy Cline for a lifetime, and I love
Patsy Cline. Yeah, me too. It's like, no, I don't want to hear that song ever again.
The same 26 songs every night.
Yes, yeah. Sir.
Neil said you guys knew it so well that you guys would read magazines while you were playing.
Yeah, I instigated that. I think I started. Yeah, we were in the back. Richard and I were in the back of the bandstand. The drummer and the piano player were up front and were featured, and the two actresses were in front. So I started reading a magazine on my music stand because we were on full autopilot, and then Richard started doing it. And then the music director freaked out and tried to shut it down, but it didn't work. And I think he finally said, "Okay, can you at least turn the magazine pages when the charts turn? Don't turn a page in between, you know." So it kind of came to a compromise on that. And we had the three levels of reading on that. So the first level was you read in between the songs, you know, and as you progressed. The second level was you read during the songs, and the highest level of that gig was you could take your solo and not lose your place in the article. That was the ultimate.
That's
so we saw each other 8 shows a week for a long time.
Yeah, man. Wow.
It was beautiful and painful all the same.
It was
time.
A great gig, though.
Yeah.
And because we did so many shows over such a long period of time, you know, I had 10 guys I would call to take my place. Because you can't do them all. Mm-hmm. You know, you just get burned. And we accumulated vacation days, too.
Yeah, it was like equity. it was a union gig, health insurance and
yeah, so,
sick days.
So when you accumulated a couple weeks of vacation days, well, you wanted to go to Europe because they kept paying you and they paid the sub as well. So it was like guitar playing heaven.
Yeah.
So Neil Haverstick was one of the guys.
And during that time, I lived about 7 minutes from the theater. It was
right.
My other studio at that time was 7 minutes away, so I would whip over at 7 o'clock, play the show, be home before the news.
That was a fantastic experience, though. It really was.
It was.
So what's your favorite Patsy Cline song?
You know, there's a couple. I Fall to Pieces, obviously, is a brilliant song. And what is that song? It's Emmy Lou did it.
Sweet Dreams.
Sweet Dreams.
Yeah, it's a classic.
Yeah, man.
Well, they say, how many girl singers does it take to do Crazy? Evidently, all of them.
And, you know, Walking After Midnight's great.
Yeah.
But
oh, they're all great.
Fall to Pieces is
about
a fantastic, kind of a medium tempo swing tune. It's just perfect country music.
So speaking of perfect country music, can we play the song off the new record?
Yeah.
The country tune?
Awesome.
Till I See You Again?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, this is my other favorite tune on the new record.
I gotta tune it up, though.
It'll bring a tear to a glass eye.
John is just...
I heard Ernie say that one time. Ernie Martinez.
John has just returned from his tour of the Southwest. So he comes back saying things like, he's all growed up.
All grown up.
And I know he went to
That's
university.
A Texas thing, right? Yeah. No, I never did, actually.
You didn't go to university?
No, I was supposed to be... Well, my family moved to Boston my senior year of high school, and I was 8 days away from going to UMass to get an English Lit degree. And I ran into a friend's older brother who had signed a record deal with Elektra, and he said, hey, you want to come down to the studio? We're cutting at Intermedia downtown Boston. I said, sure, and I walked in that control room, and my life changed in about 30 seconds, and
Look at all the pretty lights.
I got a job kind of running there, and I had to go back and tell my dad I wasn't going to make school. And he has 3 master's degrees out there. This is not going to. But he, you know, we didn't have any money, so he said, yeah, better take the year off and figure it out than don't go flunk out and waste the money.
Yeah, waste the money, yeah.
And sure. I never looked back, and that's why I say growed up.
He all growed up. He's all growed up. But John just, you know, he just made the tour of iconic country and bluegrass studios and musicians. You know, he just was in Guthrie, Oklahoma at Byron Berline's house and recording Byron playing the fiddle on some of Casey James Prestwood and the Burning Angels tunes. He was in Austin with Bill Kirchin, Commander Cody, and Asleep at the Wheel.
And now he's with us.
And now he's right here. I told him.
And George and Jake.
I told him that, you know, before we started, hey, we have to learn Sleepwalk because I think this is the only time I've ever seen another acoustic guitar and steel duet besides Santo and Johnny.
Which were, they were coming to the steel guitar, now they're not.
Huh. Yeah, I think they're not.
Johnny was.
Anyway, this is I love this tune. This is
going to be the last one, yeah?
Probably by the time we get through it and talk a little more. So.
I'm going to tell you how it started first.
Oh, yeah. What key is it in, though? I should probably.
It's in F.
Oh, F, that's right.
What time is it really?
8:52.
So okay.
7:52, you get time for 14 more songs.
Oh, great. My wife and I, when Steely Dan announced that they were going to tour again, my wife, Sam, and I immediately bought tickets to the Fiddler's Green Show. And we didn't care how much we were going to scrape the money together and sit as close as we possibly could. And it was sold out in an instant. And, you know, the show was like 2 months away, but it was sold out. Boom. So that night we got there early, and we were sitting about 18 rows back. And the amphitheater was virtually empty when we got there real early so we could take it all in. And a guy came in and sat, the seat to my left was empty, but he sat down in the seat to the left of that empty seat. And I looked over at him. He looked at me, and I said, Duncan? And it was a guy that I graduated high school with that I hadn't seen in 40 years. Now, he didn't live here. He lives in Oregon. He's never been here. He's only here for the weekend. And he just thought he would take a chance and see if he could get a ticket at the last minute. And the last minute, it put him a seat just right next to me. It was absolutely remarkable. And it had a big effect on me. It's like, wow, you know, you know how it is. You don't see someone for years and years and years that you were close to. And then you see them, and it's like you saw them the day before.
Right.
And that's just how it was. So, you know, I kind of embellished it a little bit. It's called Till I See You Again. Regret.
did your dreams fall from grace? Disappear into space? Have the lessons we share and the scars that we bear brought us back to this place? Well, if I had a dollar for each time I vowed, if I only knew then what I know right now, I'd buy back the minutes I wasted away. 'Cause time is a favor you never repay. Do I have your address? I can drop you a line. Maybe we'll get together to remember old times. There is nothing that we own but the moments we've known. So take good care until then. Adios, my old friend, till I see you again. Good care until then. Adios, my old friend, till I see you again. Take it on, girl. Good care until then. Adios, my old friend, till I see you again.
Richard Dean, John Macy.
Thank you.
On Cabaret. Boy, I hope that's not the last time I get to hear you play your music. Because I am,
thank you.
I am so enchanted and so drawn to it. And I remember those concerts at Swallow Hill, but that was a long time ago, and I really appreciate what you do.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us.
Oh, it was wonderful. I couldn't believe we got you guys on here. So what a treat for us and for our listeners and out there. If people want Accidental Human.
Oh, if they want to buy it, yeah.
If they want to, get a copy. I mean, iTunes. How do we do that?
iTunes, Amazon.com.
Amazon.com, okay.
Rhapsody, you can listen on Spotify. You can listen for free on Reverb Nation. You can't download them. You can get them on iTunes and Amazon and SimFi and a bunch of other things that I've never heard of.
And physical copies on Amazon, right?
Yeah, you can get on my Facebook page and send me your address. I'll send you one.
Wonderful.
You have to pay for it, though.
Well, Richard, thank you so much. And John, thank you so much.
Thank you, man. We enjoyed it.
I want to thank everybody out there listening to Richard Dean and John Macy and Cabaret. I want to thank George and Jake for doing the fine, fabulous job on sound that they always do. And we're going to turn it over to Clariente.
And good evening. It is 8 o'clock. You are listening to KGNU 88.5 FM, 1390 AM. And this is Corriente acá en KGNU. And esta noche we're going to start with some special guests and then go into some music. But me da muchísimo placer. It makes me really happy to invite folks from our sister program, Pasa la Voz. We have in the studio Marinela Maneiro, Jorge Cisneros, and Marcela Toledo. So, buenas noches. Good evening, you guys.
Muy buenas noches.
Buenas noches. Gracias por tenernos.
Sí, eso es un programa en español, pero vamos a hablar un poco en inglés porque pues nunca sabemos quién está escuchando.
Claro.
We never know who's listening, so we'll speak a little bit more in English. But tell us about this program. I don't know who wants to start and when it runs, and then we can talk about maybe how we can, you know, let people know what's going to be coming up on Pasa la Voz.
You know, Pasa la Voz, it actually, we try to translate it to spread the word, because what we really want to do is to ensure that different resources for the Spanish-speaking community are, people know about those resources through this radio program. And definitely we would like to, another goal of the program is for those listeners out there who are practicing their Spanish skills to listen to us speak in Spanish so that they can start practicing it more and hopefully become listeners of our program.
Yeah, and you asked when we have the program. We have this program every Sunday from 4 to 4:30 in this station to KGNU, and we are really happy to announce that we just celebrate our first anniversary. And that is wonderful to see, you know, how in a year we could offer so many information and resources to the community in general, no? And to share with them what is going on and what is happening in the community.
I know, it's amazing that it's been a year, because I've been thinking all this time, oh, I want to invite those guys to come on and to Corriente so that people can be aware that while we're doing music, and we were doing a program called Que Onda that was kind of sporadic, but it was in Spanish and sometimes Spanish and English, half and half. But, you know, really, this is a music space. People kind of expect the music. So it's so great that you guys are doing that. And Jorge, is it, it's archived, is that right?
That's correct, and we have a website which is called pasalavoz.us, and we have all the information from our guests, because sometimes they share web links to their resources, so we try to have all that information available for our community, and the website obviously is in Spanish, but we would like to invite all the people who would like to practice either by listening or even reading to come and visit our website.
That's great. Well, and I have to say, I myself learned Spanish from the radio, from listening to the radio. And so I encourage listeners out there, if that's something that you want to do, you know, listening to the radio is just great. Listening to music, it's a little bit easier probably listening to spoken word. But tell us, maybe you can all take turns and talk about how you pick guests or how you pick topics, where you go into the community to find people to bring on to Pasa la Voz.
I think that is the part that is more excited about this program, that we bring people from all over the Denver area and Boulder County, and we go from discover people. They are doing a lot of amazing things for the community, and also to try to bring people that have events in the community or resources to offer, or, you know, like sometimes we have people that have health fairs in the community or a special program for the Latino community or the community in general. And also, you know, sometimes we came across things that we know are important for people to know, like maybe, I don't know anything about, for example, immigration reforms, on something that is really touching for the community, a topic is really touching for the community, and we try to bring it to.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Jorge?
And I guess we all have a voice. I mean, the three of us come and offer suggestions, either by our contacts that we start creating outside, or sometimes just by listening to